News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Yipper, that's us. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Humidity starting to come back after kind of almost a pleasant weekend. Labor Day weekend, holiday weekend, very nice. Dalton, we've got a guest that joins us every Tuesday on the line right now.
Yes, we do. Quinn Hillier from, the website, quinnhillier.com. And right. You can pick up his trilogy, the Mad Jones trilogy, at Amazon. And he writes on Washington Examiner and a number of other sites. And what a great time to talk with Quinn, as yesterday, Labor Day, kind of kickstarted the fall campaign for President Donald Trump and his challenger, Joe Biden. Thanks for joining us this morning, Quinn.
Glad to be on with you guys.
So last week, you wrote an article, Biden must stop hiding and start answering hard questions. And since then, the president has taken up a new nickname for Joe Biden. He calls him Hiding Biden. And Biden has been out a little bit more. He took a trip to Kenosha, Wisconsin. And then yesterday he was in Pennsylvania talking and taking the endorsement of several labor unions. So since you wrote that article, do you feel that Biden is doing a better job of getting out of hiding in his basement?
Yeah, he's doing a somewhat better job of getting out of hiding. It's still mostly very carefully scripted events. And the one time that he took, 7 questions, maybe 8 or 9 questions maximum from the media, they threw up such softballs. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, sir, can we put this ball on the tee for you? Here, let us put the bat in your hand and tell us what direction to hit it. I mean, one of the questions was literally, tell us about Donald Trump's health when he went to Walter Reed mm-hmm. Hospital. Did that concern you about his health or something like that? Meaning. You're not the one that's old and feeble. Donald Trump is.
Right.
And the questions were like that. I mean, it's embarrassing to be a journalist to see other journalists act like this. But Biden has yet to face a tough question. He faced one semi-tough question at the end, which he immediately ignored.
Yes.
And changed the subject. That's the first semi-tough question man has faced in 7 months.
So what are the tough questions, Quinn? If you had your sit-down with Joe Biden, give us an idea of the things you would want him to answer.
Well, there are some that he's never had to answer that sound like they're just about him, not about the public, but they actually are very relevant to public issues. The first one being China. Everybody focused on how he, whether or not he broke the law, which he did not do, when his son, did that Ukrainian deal, et cetera, et cetera. And I have always said, and it's just a fact, it was nobody broke any laws, but it was a little sleazy.
Mm-hmm.
Set that aside. The media was so focused on whether Trump did something wrong to investigate Biden on Ukraine that they ignored the bigger question of Biden doing something worse with his son for China.
Mm-hmm.
Biden took sleazy Hunter Biden, his son, on Air Force Two to China, and his son came back with a deal, a business deal for his partners that could have been worth up to $1.5 billion. We're not clear exactly how much it was worth, but that was the range. What the heck is Joe Biden doing taking his adult son on Air Force Two? What good did Hunter Biden do for the American people that justified him being on a plane for him to go to do a more than $1 billion business deal? And what does that say about Biden's relationship with China, especially when you then start to look at all the other times that Joe Biden has excused China, coddled China, sort of ta- taken a pro-China position on this and that, and it's multiple. So the first question I want to ask him is that whole panoply of issues related to China and his son and his own misuse of Air Force Two for a business deal for his son.
And that's something that has really gone, you know, it hasn't been talked about hardly at all during this campaign season. China, the number one economic threat to the United States and also militarily the number one competitor against the United States. You'd think that would be a bigger issue for both candidates when it comes to the press. But it would be interesting if the roles were flipped and the press was going after Biden as hard as they do Trump. Because with the president, and I don't know, Quinn, you've got a whole lot more political experience and know a lot more about political history than I do. I've never seen a politician be able to deflect, pivot, and attack when the press comes after him as well as Trump has during his 4 years in office and before that when he was campaigning. Do you think the kid gloves will stay on with Biden through, I don't know, the coming months? And then you have the debates coming up. I guess they're supposed to start at the end of this month. Is he going to try to get out of those?
I don't see how he can get out of those. And if I were Biden, I would be worried about the debate that Chris Wallace is going to moderate, because Chris Wallace of Fox News is a very good journalist and will ask very tough questions, but fair questions, of both candidates. And he, unlike a lot of these reporters these days, he knows how to ask a follow-up. So if you get off the subject, don't answer his question, give a bunch of blarney, then he will follow up and say, but excuse me, sir, but you didn't answer my question. My question is X.
Mm-hmm.
That, if I'm Biden, that's the one I'm worried about. The rest of the time, I mean, look, this media, the establishment media, is totally in hock to Joe Biden. They hate Trump. Now, I don't like Trump either, but if I had a chance, I would ask both of them hard, fair questions. This group is, as I said, it's like they're bowing to their future emperor. They are so in his pocket, it's disgusting. But again, there are other questions that should be asked of him. He needs to answer about his role in poisoning the entire judicial selection process. He's the one that keeps saying, well, let's get back to normal where people can work together. You know, that's his shtick is, well, we want to get back to where everybody can work together. Well, he's the one, more than anybody else, who poisoned the judicial selection process, which poisoned a lot of else in Washington, by the way. He was the divisive partisan one. And the question would be not only to ask him to explain that, but to ask him to explain how he thinks he can bridge the divide when he's the one that helped create the divide.
Hmm. And speaking of judicial nominees, it looks like the president today or in the coming days will revert back to something that worked well for him heading into his first election. He's planning on releasing a short list of potential picks for Supreme Court justices. Now, this worked really well for him back in 2016 with so many conservatives worried what would happen with the Supreme Court if a liberal were elected, if Hillary Clinton were elected in that case. And it looks like Trump planning to do the same thing here. You think that works well for him?
It definitely works well for him. I start arguing when other Republicans did not believe it. I started writing columns in the early 2000s saying Republicans, you're stupid if you don't talk more about judges, because when we talk about judges, conservatives win. And I went through a whole list of reasons why, and polling data, et cetera, why it is good for conservatives to talk about judges. Well, Joe Biden knows that it's to his disadvantage if he talks about judges, and there was a great column in the Wall Street Journal, it was either last Thursday or Friday, by Ilya Shapiro of the Cato Institute, which goes into some of that as well. When we talk about judges, and Trump focuses on that, that reminds people that the radical left judges that are supported by Joe Biden and company are the ones who have made it harder to have law and order. They're the ones who have created, you know, not just legalized abortion, but basically abortion on absolute demand, are are the ones that on takings, on private property, have said government can come in and take your property, not for something like a park or something used in common, but to give to some wealthy economic developer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Americans tend to be center-right on what they want their justice system to be.
Yeah,
Trump is right to give a list of judges who have records of using conservative jurisprudence in order to reach those center-right center-right conclusions or decisions.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We're going to be take a quick break here, Quinn, but I can remember back in the election of 2016, even some of my most conservative friends that were not crazy about Trump were most concerned about the Supreme Court. And that was really a linchpin on why they voted that way. More with Quinn Hillier on the way.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. It's not all been bad for Biden, according to Quinn. I said the Trump team should worry about Biden's Kenosha success. More on that coming up.
Hey y'all, it is Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5. More talk on the way with Jeff Poore beginning at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, main dude around here will be Sean Sullivan. And he's down to one show now, and it's Midday Mobile, and it's greatly appreciated by all that listen to it, because Sean's got his finger on the pulse of so many things going on, especially locally all the way up to the State House.
Yeah, and coming up at 1 o'clock today, it's the Ask the Sheriff segment with Sean and Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, so you don't want to miss that. I'm talking with Quinn Hillier this morning, who we a couple weeks ago improperly labeled as an LSU fan.
Now, I did.
Quinn, a New Orleans born, and but you're actually maybe the only person in Mobile that will be rooting for the Tulane Green Wave when they take the field at the Hancock Whitney Bank Stadium this Saturday to take on the South Alabama Jaguars. How do you feel about that, Quinn?
Roll Green Wave,
oh,
marching
boy
down the field. No, my grandfather was on the very first Sugar Bowl team, which was a Tulane team. And my grandparents, my parents all went there, and my uncle taught there for either was undergraduate, graduate, or teacher there for 60 years.
Wow, that's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you know, but South actually right now undefeated, while your team hasn't won a single game this year.
Oh, my goodness. That's awful.
Although they haven't played a game yet this year, so there's that. But
you know, locally, an All-American player at Tulane was Joe Bullard.
Oh,
I know that very well. Yeah. In fact, my dad was eager to meet Joe Bullard when my dad had to move here after Katrina, because he remembered Joe as the single best punt returner he had ever seen.
Wow. Yeah, and Bullard was the defensive backfield was called Bullard's Bandits because of all the interceptions.
That's some high praise.
A heck of a college player.
Yep, excellent.
Well, we were talking about the presidential campaigns, which I guess Labor Day traditionally the unofficial start to the campaign season, and they were all out in force yesterday, both President Trump and Biden and the Vice President Pence. And Biden's running mate Kamala Harris, the two vice presidential nominees, were in Wisconsin yesterday. And that follows a trip to Wisconsin from Joe Biden last week. And Quinn, you wrote about that visit. You said the Trump team should worry about Biden's Kenosha success. So you feel that Biden's day trip over there, which he had a long speech and talked with a lot of people while he was there, you feel like that was a success for the Democrat nominee?
I do. Now, let me forward this by saying that I'm already on record as predicting that Trump will eke out an election win, even though I think he makes it very hard on himself. But eke is the key word, meaning that anything that goes more in Biden's direction or less in Trump's direction than I expect could make it that much harder for Trump to win. And in this case, Joe Biden did quite well in Kenosha. One reason he did quite well is because the Trump campaign had spent months talking him down in terms of portraying him as being senile. Well, when you lower expectations so much, then when somebody comes out and he's clearly in control of his faculties, just being in control of your faculties makes you look so much better than people expected that that in itself is a success and a benefit for the campaign. Well, he was clearly in control of his faculties. He was a little weary. He was breathing sort of heavy. But everything he said made logical or had internal logical consistency. He didn't meander all over. He was focused. He made the points he wanted to make. He showed good short-term memory. I could go on. But the point is, he exceeded the expectations Trump had laid on him. And not only that, but he was connecting with his small audience in the church. And whether or not you believe his stuff is blarney or whatever, his empathy showed through. I'm watching on the TV, and I don't much care for Joe Biden, but I'm saying this guy really comes across as sincere, as empathetic. He remembered the people's names that he had just met 2 hours before. He remembered how many children they had. He directly addressed their individual circumstances, and that's the Joe Biden. There's a good Biden and a bad Biden. That was the good Biden on display that makes him a successful candidate in terms of ability to connect with people. That's what I saw, and that's why Trump needs to worry a little.
And it seems like right now the main, I guess if you want to call it a policy battle between the Republicans and Democrats, Republicans going hard on law and order, and the Democrats maybe trying to kind of step away from the riots and protests, but still they're not jumping all the way to the law and order side. And I'll agree, Biden showed empathy during his trip to Kenosha, but he was showing empathy for Jacob Blake and that family, not showing much empathy for law enforcement officers in the area. And I wonder, with Wisconsin being a battleground state and what they've seen here over the last few weeks, if maybe the Republicans' message, Pence's message, Trump's message, isn't connecting more with some of those Wisconsin voters.
Well, I think Trump's message on that is better, but Biden did do a little more than just the normal, mouthing of some words. He made a real point at one part of his remarks of going out of his way to talk about how much he respected police officers, and I can't remember the exact words, but when he did it for the first time in months, it sounded like he meant it. Look, one reason that I predicted Trump will win is because I do think law and order will be a huge issue, and it will play in Trump's benefit. On the other hand, as Biden underplays law and order to overplay, connection with the protesters, Trump can overplay law and order and underplay. There is a sense poll show that we need to do something to eradicate racism. This is a 60% majority of the people, and Trump refuses to show any empathy. Both of them need to come more to their respective middles rather than being on the edges.
QuinnHilliard.com is where you can find all of Quinn's work, also the Washington Examiner. Quinn, we appreciate your time again this week. Always enlightening, and obviously you're a guy that just has an expertise in something that we're all keeping such a close eye on right now. So thanks again.
You mean Tulane football?
Yeah, Tulane football, right.
Y'all are going down this week. Thank you, Quinn.
Thanks.
You got it. It's about 8:30 now, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and we've got some information, including Dr. Bill's forecast, all coming up.
At 8:36, FM Talk 106.5, and you're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Let's talk with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, y'all.
So entering week two in September here, and I know you got some great vehicles for sale over there at McConnell Automotive. What can we expect if we head over to the lot today?
Well, this last day of the employee pricing, unless General Motors comes out with it again, who knows, but today's the last day. Also got last day to get $6,000 in rebates on those AT4s, and we got a few of those in stock. Check out our used car inventory at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you got any questions on the stuff, give Gene or I a call at 251-476-4141. By the way, I hope everybody had a great Labor Day. I know we did, and hopefully we'll sell a few today and get some nice trades, and we'll rock and roll all week.
So the last day to get in and get some of those deals, and I want to talk about that truck you mentioned, because I was down at the beach this weekend and saw the newest model AT4. Those things are sharp.
That's right. My son's coming to look at one today. I think he's going to buy one, and he's going to have a nice little Z71 trade-in that we'll have, and we got about four of those in stock right now, those AT4s, and with that big rebate on them right now, they're as soon as they get here, they're gone. So, yeah, y'all need to check those out.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Good morning. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. The text line and the phone line, one and the same, 343-0106. Getting the texts, getting the calls, too.
Yeah, let's head to the phone lines right now. And Teresa from Mobile hanging out with us this morning. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. I have military issues. There's an article out there, it's called the American something, called the Cuckoo Coup. And it's the left strategizing on how they're going to try to remove Trump in the case that Biden doesn't win. And they're employing the military, so that is the reason why we're seeing this fake attack on the military going on right now. It's the same tactic that's used in other countries to remove leaders that they don't like.
Like a military coup of some sort?
Yeah, it actually is. Yeah, and it's the same thing and actually, Matt Crystal is the one that's being paid by George Soros to implement it.
What'd you say this? You said there was a report or something out there that you heard this from?
It's an article. You know how these the left does things in plain sight.
Right.
It's an article called The Coming Coup, how the left has gotten together and strategized on different scenarios that they can employ in case Biden loses the election.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to steal it by mail-in.
Right, the mail-in voting, that's a huge issue going
right.
in. Now, just for my sake, I want to find this article. Do you remember where you read this from, the coming coup?
Actually, Dan Bongino talked about it on his show yesterday. The whole show was just about the coming coup.
Okay. Well,
And also, I would just like to say that the Solomonsky playbook is being played out right in front of us. Using our morals, against us, prove you're not racist and vote for a black president, type thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is no racism in America. Nobody in America is being oppressed. So I'm tired of the fake bullcrap. Let's just be real.
I hear you, Teresa. We appreciate the call. I'll have to find that article on the military coup. But, that has these stories over the last couple of weeks about Trump that came out in The Atlantic, where he allegedly called soldiers losers and suckers. And, last night, John Bolton on Fox News kind of pushed back against that. And I would say, on its face, that's a pretty damning allegation.
And yeah, it seemed like there's enough to go around. You don't have to dig up and then there's no source and there's no, it's kind of like, well, who heard it? And I mean, if you want to build a case against Biden, you can.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to build a case against President Trump, you can.
Right.
Without something in The Atlantic that looks like it just could have been it could be as close to fantasy as anything else.
Yeah, and then on the other side, with Teresa's call there, all roads eventually lead back to George Soros.
I noticed that, yeah.
That card's been played a lot of times. And, Soros got a lot of money. He's invested a whole lot of money in trying to sway political races. But I would say, there's a lot that the Republicans can argue about without having to bring Soros into every conversation. Because I'll tell you, as soon as you say Soros, a lot of people, they just kind of shut their ears off because there's been so many allegations levied against him. Some fair, some not so fair,
yeah.
But it's kind of, it kind of shuts people off if you're trying to turn them into a Trump voter, if that's your goal.
Well, and, I think there's room for nuance. Some callers obviously don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. Some texters, and just with their opinion. Your opinion, that's fine. That's your opinion. I think there is room for nuance, and you and I have had these discussions in the past, but it's to say, I'm going to lay a blanket out here, there is absolutely nothing like that even comes close to racism in the United States of America. Well, that's her reality. I would not subscribe to that. But you know, like I say, opinions are strong and they're really revved up, especially going into an election as big as the one we've got coming up.
Yeah, and you know, the editor of The Atlantic with that story that's been, I think, the most talked about story in the national media over the last couple of weeks. And the editor said, you know, that's the first of many things to come about what the president has said over the last few years. But I think, and you know, a lot of people saying, well, conservatives and Trump voters, they just don't care about character anymore. They could care less about what the president's character is. I'd say it's less that and more that we've been seeing things like this over the last 4 years, and many of them have been proven untrue, and people directly related to the president, whether they're on his team or not, saying, you know, some of this stuff is untrue. And I point to last night with John Bolton on Fox News, and while he didn't outright absolve the president of any blame, he did say that this story with The Atlantic, you know, you've got anonymous sources that are saying Trump said these things, and Bolton said, well, on its face, you know, they were saying that the president didn't visit that cemetery in France because he didn't want to go. Bolton said, that's not true. There was actually bad weather and he wasn't able, you know, I wasn't in France. I don't know what the story is, but Bolton was.
We have to check with Dr. Bill.
And if anybody's going to, you know, go after Trump right now, Bolton would be on that list.
Yeah, he sell more books.
Yeah, and he doesn't like the president. So to me, you know, Bolton has a name and he put his name on that statement. A lot of these sources, whether it's true or untrue, they're coming from anonymous sources, and the American people, I think, are kind of over anonymously sourced stories, especially heading into the election with less than 2 months to go.
I think it's just poorly played. I mean, if The Atlantic's motivation is to hurt Trump, I think they did the opposite.
Yeah.
Right?
And we've seen that happen time and time again. So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I certainly get that. And just watching the news every night, it's almost, it's nearly unwatchable.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, it's, they're not even veiling what they're trying to do. You know,
right.
the stories, the way they're worded, the stories that are chosen. So, you know, we get that. Like I say, if you want to build a case against the current president, you could do that without making anything up, and the same for Biden.
Exactly.
If you want to build a case against him, you don't have to make up something with unnamed sources. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they're going to continue building those cases against each other over the next month and change as we head into that November 3rd election. But Dan, we've talked a lot of national politics this hour, and I kind of want to bring it, I want to bring it back to home and something that affects so many Mobilians and people in Baldwin County a lot more than the national race right now, and that's schooling. With Mobile County Public Schools still doing that remote learning thing, you know, they got started last Tuesday. September 1st was the first day of their semester, and a recent article from AL.com points out that many school systems in Alabama are kind of going back and putting kids back in school.
Yeah, I saw that.
They were initially planning on doing remote learning just like Mobile County. Mobile County Public School System is the largest in the entire state, and you look at coronavirus numbers like we do every morning, Mobile down to 35 new cases per day of COVID-19, the lowest it's been since June 17th. And then you look at the school system right now and the issues they had in the first week. On Thursday, I believe, day three of their new semester, they were unable to access the website they needed to learn.
Yeah, that went sideways on Thursday.
Will and should Mobile County Public Schools rethink this and maybe send students back into class? I want to talk about that more when we come back from the break.
Interesting. Some of the private schools and Saraland schools right here in Mobile County are open with students on campus, right? It is 8:45. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Mobile Mornings, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, week three of this shaky little show.
New venture.
And if you prefer the website than our classically trained voices, you can go to fmtalk1065.com and look at some of the stories there, including the three big things, the averted mass shooting at the Bass Pro Shops, Biden and Trump's sparring on the economy and other things, and Baldwin County Schools providing free meals for traditional students through the end of this calendar year. More on schools in about 1 minute. Dalton?
Yeah, and speaking of websites, I was just browsing 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com and learned something new today. I know we've all seen the big blue trucks rolling through our area, but did you know 1-800-GOT-JUNK has franchises as far north as Canada and as far, well, east or west as Australia. There's actually 1-800-GOT-JUNK companies in Australia, but they're owned locally by local franchisee owners. And Trey Bennett is our guy here in Mobile and Baldwin counties.
So he's not getting rid of anybody's kangaroo apparel.
No.
But they could be in Australia.
Well, he could if you brought some kangaroo apparel back from Australia. 1-800-GOT-JUNK locally would be happy to take that off your hands.
That's nice.
And of course, you know, the number is right there in the name of the company, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You can give them a call or go to the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. The upfront pricing is so important with them. They don't say they'll come over and then do the work and then hit you with surprise charges. They let you know exactly how much it's going to cost before you have them remove, whether it's a trampoline in the backyard that hasn't been used in 20 years since your kids were little, or if you got a shed full of junk you don't want anymore and you really don't want the shed anymore either, they'll take the whole thing off your hands. And if there's things in there that you're not supposed to just take to the dump, you know, computers, TV monitors, and things of that nature, they dispose of those responsibly. And also, if they find things they can donate instead of just trashing them, they will actually go through the effort and the time of making sure those go to the right places and donating them to someone who could use these things that you call junk. So, you know the saying, one man's, we'll say junk here, one man's junk is another man's treasure, and 1-800-GOT-JUNK certainly understands that. So give them a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Now, coming up after our show, the Jeff Poor Show begins at 9 a.m., and he's got his usual Tuesday guest, Dan Gaynor, joins him today. Also, Representative Gary Palmer from the 6th Congressional District here in Alabama. State Senator Cam Ward will join him, and Daphne mayoral hopeful Steve Carey, who's in a runoff for the mayor of Daphne. Those will all join Jeff Poor today. And then coming up at 1 o'clock on Midday Mobile, which begins at noon, we have our monthly Ask the Sheriff segment with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, and a great day to get him on after what happened in Spanish Fort over the weekend at the Bass Pro Shop, and that shooting that could have ended much worse, no fatalities, and a suspect apprehended at the in the shooting at the Bass Pro Shop on Saturday. So I'm sure we'll ask we'll ask Sheriff Sam Cochran about that coming up later in the show.
That's the story that Dalton and I in the last few days. Yesterday, you may have missed us being Labor Day, but again today, just kind of reiterated, like, that was a big story. That could have been a national story because it could have been a national story because of what could have happened. Mm-hmm. But because of the work of the Spanish Fort Police, how was that not a story of interest from one coast to the other, considering who the suspect was, considering what was averted, considering he got off 30 to 50 rounds anyway, and the way he was brought down without gunshot from the police.
Yeah, tased him and apprehended the suspect. That should have been national news, no doubt about that. Well, locally, you know, a big deal for a lot of parents in our area, a lot of kids in Mobile County, is Mobile County Public Schools, and entering week two now of the remote learning semester, where they said, Mobile County Superintendent Kressel Threadgill said months ago that Mobile County Public Schools would be doing 9 weeks of remote learning beginning September 1st, which was last Tuesday, which takes them through the first week of November. And Mobile County wasn't the first, or they weren't the only school district to announce they were going to do remote learning, but they were certainly one of the first and the biggest school district in the state. But since then, over the last couple weeks, there are several school systems that have reversed course. And so they're going to send kids to school in class anyway. You look at this article from AL.com's William Thornton. Last week, Shelby County and Madison County school systems, also schools in Tuscaloosa and Hoover, announced that they plan to resume 5 day a week in-person classes. In Huntsville, they said after witnessing improvements in the public health situation in North Alabama, they're going to start having kids come back to class. And Shelby County, they said they're going to start transitioning coming up September 14th on getting kids back into school. Now, this was kind of Shelby County's plan all along, but it's not the case for some of these other school systems. In Hoover, they're going to start transitioning back to in-person instruction on September 21st. And Jason Gaston, who's the spokesman for the Hoover schools, said they're paying attention to case rates in both Jefferson and Shelby counties. But since the beginning of school, less than 0.5% of students in that system, with over 13,000 students, have tested positive. Less than 0.5% of students. So the question for me, with Baldwin County schools having in-person instruction with the option to do remote learning, they've been going full speed for nearly a month now, since August 12th. Mobile County Public Schools just started last week. They've already had issues with some of this remote learning. On Thursday, day three of the new semester, students couldn't get online to access their instruction and access anything they needed to get through with the school day.
That happened to be the day where I hit the road and just just out of curiosity went to one of those remote buses, the Wi-Fi buses, where I didn't see anybody there that was taking advantage of it. And as it turns out, that would have been the wrong day to try to take advantage of it anyway, because even if you were trying to get hooked up with Wi-Fi from your own home with the school system and with your work, you were having trouble no matter where you were. Mm-hmm. But what are parents doing right now?
Exactly. This has got to be so difficult on the parents of these children. You know, the parents, they got to continue to work and put food on the table. And I imagine that becomes increasingly difficult when you've got kids at home, especially if those children aren't of the age where they can look after themselves while at home. Tuscaloosa, their initial plan was exactly like Mobile County Public Schools. They were going to do 9 weeks of remote learning. But they're this week going to review a plan to begin getting students back into classes. So I think it's time that question starts being asked of Kressel Threadgill and the Mobile County Public School System. When will they review? When will they look back? Because right now, with Mobile County's numbers, we're averaging only 35 new cases of COVID-19 per day in the county. That's the lowest numbers we've seen since June 17th. What is the, you look at the economic toll with parents having to work from home, you look at the mental health toll and physical health toll for some of these students who are stuck at home rather than being around students of their age and fraternizing and things of that nature. So
the educational toll, are they really getting taught right now? Mm-hmm. Would have to be something that you want to, and I'm not saying they are or they're not, but are they? I'm asking the question, I'm not making a statement.
Yeah, and people smarter than me can account for the difference in learning remotely or being in person. How much farther behind could one student be by having remote learning? And remember, it's not just these 9 weeks, but at the very end of the last semester, they did the same thing. So will Mobile County Public Schools reverse course, or at least potentially look at reversing course? I think they need to start looking at that over these next couple of weeks.
Yeah, you make a really good point right there, too. One of the last things you said is we're not just talking about this school year. We're talking about from last late March April.
Yeah.
They have not been in school all this time. Wow. Okay, it's another day in the books for Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Jeff Poore is on the way next on FM Talk 106.5.